Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. I'm really excited about today's topic.
Me too.
We're going to be talking about emotional intelligence. And to guide our discussion, we're going to be taking a look at this excerpt from Emotional Intelligence Test. Can you manage emotions? You know, I think a lot of us have this idea that emotional intelligence is about, you know, being nice or being sensitive.
Yeah.
But I think what's cool about this source is that it suggests that there's actually a, you know, a real intelligence behind it.
Absolutely. It's not just about being touchy-feely. What's fascinating to me is that the source actually dives right into this concept of EQ.
Yeah.
Emotional quotient, which they compare to IQ.
Hmm.
It's like IQ, but for emotions.
Hmm.
And it really suggests that just like intellectual intelligence, our emotional intelligence can be measured and developed.
And they even break down EQ into 5 core components.
Yes, they do.
I'm really curious to hear about that breakdown because honestly, I've heard people, you know, throw around the term emotional intelligence, but it's never been totally clear to me what that actually means, like practically speaking.
Yeah. Well, they start with self-awareness, and this isn't just about knowing what you're feeling,
right?
But understanding why, you know.
Okay.
It's about being able to identify those subtle triggers that set off different emotional responses in you.
I see.
So, for example, let's say you notice that you get particularly anxious before presentations.
Okay, yeah.
Self-awareness isn't just acknowledging the anxiety. It's digging deeper.
Mm-hmm.
To understand what specifically about presentations makes you anxious.
Yeah.
Is it the fear of public speaking?
Okay.
The pressure to perform?
Yeah.
Or something else entirely?
That's interesting because I think a lot of us get stuck at that surface level of like, I feel anxious without really exploring, you know, those root causes.
Exactly.
So I'm already seeing how having that deeper level of self-awareness could be really helpful.
Foundational.
Yeah. So what's the next component in this EQ breakdown?
So next we have self-regulation. It's great to be aware of your emotions, but if you can't manage them, they can end up controlling you.
Yeah.
And the source emphasizes that self-regulation isn't about suppressing your emotions.
Okay.
But rather about expressing them in a healthy and appropriate way.
I see.
So think of it like this. Everyone gets angry sometimes, but someone with good self-regulation can express that anger without lashing out or saying things they'll later regret.
So it's almost like having a built-in emotional thermostat.
That's a good way to put it.
That helps you maintain a steady temperature even when things get heated.
Exactly. And then we have motivation.
Okay.
This isn't about external motivators like money or praise, but rather that inner drive that comes from a sense of purpose and passion. The source suggests that people with high EQ are often driven by a deep interest in their work and a genuine desire to make a difference, regardless of external rewards.
Okay. I'm starting to see how these first three components really build on each other.
Yeah.
You need that self-awareness to understand your motivation.
Right.
And then that self-regulation to channel those motivations effectively.
Absolutely.
So what about the last two components?
So next up is empathy, which is really the cornerstone of understanding other people.
Okay.
It's about being able to step into someone else's shoes and see the world from their perspective, even if you don't agree with their point of view. And then finally, we have social skills. This is where emotional intelligence really comes to life in our interactions with others.
Okay.
The source points out that good social skills involve clear communication, active listening, and being able to build rapport with people from diverse backgrounds.
So it's not just about understanding your own emotions, but also being able to recognize and respond to the emotions of others in a way that builds trust and connection.
Precisely. And here's where the source gets really intriguing.
Yeah.
They mention that modern society has a bit of a double standard when it comes to emotions.
Okay, now this is what I was waiting for.
Yeah.
Because I've definitely noticed that there are certain emotions that we're almost expected to hide or downplay, while others are seen as more acceptable to express openly.
Right. The source specifically points out how certain emotions like anger or sadness can be stigmatized, particularly in professional settings. Meanwhile, we're bombarded with marketing messages that try to manipulate our emotions to sell products or services.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like we're told to be logical and rational, but then our emotions are constantly being targeted and exploited.
Exactly.
I'm thinking about those commercials that try to make you feel nostalgic or insecure just to get you to buy something.
That's a perfect example. And this double standard can have a real impact on how we understand and express our emotions.
I can see that. So if emotional intelligence is about recognizing, understanding, and managing emotions, it seems like navigating this societal double standard is a pretty crucial part of the equation.
It certainly adds another layer of complexity. And that's why the source emphasizes the importance of introspection as a first step towards developing emotional intelligence.
That makes sense. It's hard to navigate the complexities of your own emotions, let alone those of others, if you don't have that strong foundation of self-awareness.
Absolutely. The source even mentions a test that can help with this process.
Oh, tell me more about this test. What kind of insights does it provide?
So according to the source, the test breaks down each of the five components of EQ we discussed earlier.
Okay.
And provides a percentage score for each.
Interesting.
It also offers some personalized insights based on your responses and even suggests some tips for improvement.
Like what? What kind of things?
For example, if you score low on self-regulation, it might suggest practicing mindfulness techniques or developing better coping mechanisms for stress.
So it's not just about giving you a number, but actually helping you understand your strengths and weaknesses
right.
and providing some actionable steps you can take to improve your emotional intelligence.
Exactly. However, the source also cautions against taking these test results too literally.
Okay.
After all, emotional intelligence is complex and it's constantly evolving.
Right.
A test can provide a snapshot of where you're at in a given moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the whole picture.
That's a good point. I'm curious, though, what are your thoughts on these types of tests?
Yeah.
Do you think they can accurately capture something as nuanced as emotional intelligence?
It's a great question. And I think the answer is both yes and no.
Okay.
A well-designed test can definitely help raise your self-awareness by highlighting areas where you might be strong or where you might need to focus your development efforts.
Okay.
But it's important to remember that a test is just a tool and it's only as useful as the person using it.
So it's not about chasing a perfect score, but rather using the test as a springboard for deeper self-reflection and growth.
I like that.
Kind of like how a fitness tracker can give you data about your activity levels, but it's up to you to actually make the changes to improve your health.
That's a great analogy. And just like a fitness tracker, these EQ tests can be most helpful when used over time to track your progress and see how your emotional intelligence is developing. It's about noticing patterns, identifying triggers, and learning how to respond to different situations in a way that aligns with your values and goals.
This makes me think about something we touched on earlier.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of a societal double standard when it comes to emotions.
Right.
Do you think that this double standard also plays a role in how we interpret and react to our own emotions?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
If we're constantly being told, either directly or indirectly, that certain emotions are unacceptable or unprofessional, we're more likely to suppress those emotions, even when it might be healthier to acknowledge and process them.
It's like we're creating this internal conflict between what we're feeling and what we think we're supposed to feel.
Right.
I can see how that could lead to all sorts of problems.
Exactly. And that's where developing our emotional intelligence becomes so crucial. It's about learning to navigate those societal expectations while also staying true to ourselves and honoring our own emotional experiences.
So it's not about rejecting societal norms altogether,
no,
but rather about developing the self-awareness and the self-regulation skills to make conscious choices about how we want to express our emotions.
Right. And I think this ties back to something the source emphasizes.
What's that?
Which is the importance of having a strong sense of self.
Okay.
When we know who we are, what we value, and what our boundaries are, we're less likely to be swayed by external pressures and expectations.
So it's about finding that balance between fitting in and standing out.
Exactly. And I think that's a lifelong journey for all of us.
It certainly is. You know, this conversation has really got me thinking about my own emotional intelligence and how I can cultivate it further.
Me too.
What are some practical steps we can take to strengthen our EQ, both for ourselves and for the people around us?
That's a great question. And I think the source actually provide some helpful clues there.
Oh, how so?
Well, remember how the source emphasized introspection as a key starting point?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really about cultivating self-awareness.
Right, because you can't manage what you don't understand.
Exactly.
Oh.
So one practical step is to simply start paying closer attention to your emotions throughout the day.
Okay.
Notice what triggers certain feelings,
yeah,
how your body responds, and how those emotions influence your thoughts and actions.
That makes sense. But how do we move beyond just noticing those emotions? You know, I feel like I can get stuck in my head sometimes, overthinking and analyzing everything.
Yeah, I hear you. And that's where self-regulation comes in. The source talks about developing healthy coping mechanisms for dealing with difficult emotions.
Okay.
Whether it's deep breathing exercises, journaling, or simply taking a break from a stressful situation.
Mm-hmm.
The key is to find strategies that work for you.
So it's about building up a toolbox of emotional regulation techniques that we can use when those intense feelings start to bubble up.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
And remember, it's not about suppressing those emotions altogether. It's about learning to process them in a healthy way so they don't end up controlling us.
Okay, so we've got self-awareness and self-regulation. What about the other components of EQ? How can we cultivate those?
Well, when it comes to empathy, one powerful practice is active listening.
Okay.
Really focusing on understanding another person's perspective, even if you don't agree with them.
That sounds challenging, especially when you're in a disagreement with someone.
It can be. But remember, empathy isn't about agreeing. It's about understanding.
Right.
And sometimes simply acknowledging another person's feelings can go a long way in diffusing a tense situation.
So even if you can't relate to someone's perspective, you can still validate their experience.
Right. And then, of course, there are social skills. This is about learning how to communicate effectively, build rapport, and navigate social situations with grace and confidence.
Do you have any tips for improving our social skills?
One thing I find helpful is to focus on being present and engaged in conversations. Put away your phone, make eye contact, and really listen to what the other person is saying.
It's about treating each interaction as an opportunity to connect rather than just going through the motions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And remember, developing emotional intelligence is a lifelong journey. It's not something you master overnight.
I appreciate you emphasizing that because it's easy to get discouraged if we don't see immediate results.
Right. It's about making small, consistent efforts over time to cultivate these skills. And remember, it's okay to make mistakes. We all have moments where we handle our emotions poorly or misread a social situation.
It's about learning from those experiences and using them as opportunities to grow.
Exactly. And as we become more emotionally intelligent ourselves, we can also help foster these qualities in others, especially children.
Oh, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. How can we help kids develop their emotional intelligence?
One of the most powerful things we can do is model these behaviors ourselves.
Oh.
Kids are like sponges. They absorb everything they see and hear.
So if we're constantly yelling or shutting down our own emotions, they're likely to pick up on those patterns.
Right. But if they see us expressing our emotions in a healthy way, communicating effectively and showing empathy towards others, they're more likely to develop those skills themselves.
It makes me think about the importance of creating a safe and supportive environment where kids feel comfortable expressing their feelings without judgment.
That's so crucial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just about creating that space, but also about equipping them with the language and the tools to understand and manage their emotions.
So things like teaching them about different emotions, helping them identify their triggers, and giving them strategies for calming down when they're upset.
Exactly. And remember, even small everyday interactions can be opportunities to teach these lessons.
Okay.
Whether it's talking about how a character in a book might be feeling, or helping them work through a conflict with a friend, those moments can have a lasting impact.
It sounds like fostering emotional intelligence in children is really about weaving it into the fabric of their daily lives.
I think that's a beautiful way to put it. And ultimately, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Creating a world where emotional intelligence is valued and nurtured, not just for our own personal well-being, but for the good of society as a whole.
Well, this has been such an insightful deep dive. Thank you for sharing your expertise and for helping us unpack this complex but incredibly important topic.
It's been my pleasure.
Yeah.
And I encourage all of you listening to continue exploring the world of emotional intelligence. It's a journey that will enrich your life in countless ways.
And on that note, we'll wrap up our deep dive for today. Remember, emotional intelligence is a skill that can be learned and developed. And the more we invest in it, the more we can create a world that is more compassionate, more understanding, and more connected.
Beautifully said. And until next time, keep diving deep into the fascinating world of human emotions.